The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you will take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them, that each of us may hear your words today. Amen. So, in the Gospel today, we start off with words of Jesus, I came to bring fire to the earth. And he talks about division. Now, it's not the first mention of fire. If you go back earlier in Luke's Gospel, you'll find John the Baptist talking about the one who is going to come after me, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But somehow it's not what you expect from Jesus. Fire sounds destructive. It sounds violent. Imagine we had a fire in our house. It's destructive. It's destroyed. Is this Jesus bringing fire? Or then again, could fire be something that cleanses and purifies? Silver purified seven times in the fire. Somewhere in the Bible, I didn't look up to see where. It's surprising, isn't it, to hear Jesus saying, I come to bring fire. You expect messages of peace and reconciliation and unity. Think back to the beginning of the Gospel, Christmas Day, the angels appear at Bethlehem, peace on earth with all on whom his favor rests. How often does Jesus say to people, go in peace? Peace. When he sends out the disciples in twos, a couple of chapters before what we read today, he sends them out to preach peace. And if you're greeted with peace, share peace with the people who are there. But then there are other indications in the Gospel too. Go back to its beginning, Jesus being presented in the temple as a child, and Mary is greeted by Simeon, an aged priest who prophesies over Jesus, this child is destined for the rising and falling of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And then he says directly to Mary, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Jesus brings not only peace, but also division. Now, why can that be? A phrase at the end of the Old Testament reading, my word is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. The word of God can bring division, and if Jesus is the word incarnate, he will bring division. The gospel is good news. Jesus promises us salvation, redemption, inner peace, wholeness, reconciliation with the Father, forgiveness, and all that. It's good news, isn't it? But the gospel also brings responsibilities. Our salvation is God's free gift to us. We can't earn it, it's simply given. But if we embrace the gospel and receive Christ, that brings expectations. We cannot do that and continue in sin. And accepting Christ might mean that our life changes. That can be costly. It might affect us in terms of personal morality. Might mean some relationships are inappropriate. We're called to live a life worthy of our calling. And for many people, that will focus on the way we treat other people, the way we use our possessions and our power. Back in the 80s, I remember sitting on a train and I was reading a book. It was a book about the cost of being a disciple of Jesus. Its title was Money, Sex and Power. And I got some very strange looks from other passengers sitting there in my clerical collar reading this book, Money, Sex and Power. Not what you expect to see a clergyman reading. But actually, that's where Jesus brings the challenge to us about our money, our relationships, and the way we use power. That can cause division. It can cause division because not everybody embraces it. How often over the years have I had a conversation with one half of a married couple where one has become more committed to Christ and the church, and it's affecting their relationship, it's affecting their use of possessions, it's affecting their values. It can bring division. And if you read the Gospels, following Jesus comes at a price. Take the example of a rich young man who comes and talks to Jesus. Jesus calls him to leave everything and follow him, and he goes away sad because he can't meet that demand. Or if you turn to John chapter 6, Jesus has preached a long sermon about the bread of life. You'll have heard bits of it from time to time in the Gospels. It's very long, it's very involved, it's quite difficult to work out exactly what Jesus is saying. Theologians argue about it for years. Then there is a verse that says, many people stopped following him because the things he said were too hard for them. Jesus calls us to follow him. He gives us salvation freely, but following has a cost and expectations. Now, there's always a tendency for Christians to want to make the gospel easy to accept. A friend of mine calls it a candy-coated gospel, and it's not Christianity. In one of its worst forms, we might call it the prosperity gospel. You know, commit your life to Christ, follow him, give generously to the church. God will reward you with blessings beyond your imagination. You will be rich and powerful beyond your expectation because you've turned to Christ. Utter nonsense. But it's very appealing and it's very easy to preach it, and people follow it and embrace it. But it's not Christianity. Don read us the second lesson earlier on. I'd forgotten this was coming up, and I actually spent some time looking for this passage last night in my Bible and couldn't find it. But I thought it illustrates what people are called to. And I hope none of us ever get called to this, but you never know what our faith might lead us to. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. You get the picture. Following Jesus and being committed to his teaching can mean being in opposition to other people because you're called to stand up for what's right and it doesn't make you popular. But it is the calling we are called to. And so, in our lives, let us never be misled by offers of cheap grace and easy salvation, because the gospel has a demand, and Jesus brings peace, but he also brings fire. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let us stand and turn to page 6 in the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God.